Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, made in USA or made in China? American home goods giant Williams-Sonoma facing a record $3 million fine for selling misleading products. More on why made in USA should mean exactly that. Michigan Congressman John Molinar is taking the helm of the House China panel. More on his vision for the committee and his top priorities regarding communist China. The latest flare-up in the South China Sea. China's Coast Guard fired water cannons at a Philippine vessel, damaging the ship. And a top Chinese virologist locked out of his lab for days. This comes after he encountered a round of repercussions from authorities over his study on the COVID-19 virus. An over $3 million fine for advertising products as made in the USA when they're actually made in China. The Federal Trade Commission struck Williams-Sonoma with a record fine Monday, the largest ever civil penalty in a made in USA case. The FTC found the home goods giant labeled several products as made in the USA when they're actually made in China and other countries. A prime example is the essential mattress pad sold under its Pottery Barn Teen brand. The product was originally listed as crafted in America from domestic and imported materials, but a consumer who bought the mattress found it was labeled made in China. The consumer reported the case to a consumer watchdog agency, which tipped off the FTC. The mattress pad is now listed as imported. The FTC also found Williams-Sonoma falsely claimed six other products as made in the USA. In a statement, the FTC's chair said Williams-Sonoma's deception misled consumers and harmed honest American businesses. Adding the record fine makes clear that firms committing made in USA fraud won't get a free pass. This is not the first time that the home goods giant is fined for making false claims. Back in 2020, the FTC fined the home goods company $1 million for claiming some products as made in the U.S. when they were manufactured in China. Those products range from baking and cookware to upholstered furniture. They were sold under Williams-Sonoma's Gold Touch Bakeware, Rejuvenation, and Pottery Barn Teen and Pottery Barn Kids. Williams-Sonoma has been ordered to submit annual compliance reports to the FTC in the future. The new leader of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party has taken the helm. Michigan Congressman John Molinar took over after his predecessor, Representative Mike Gallagher, left Congress. He shared his vision and priorities as the new chairman in an announcement video on Monday.
I've witnessed the CCP's near constant efforts to undermine America's core values and sovereignty. I've come to understand that what the Chinese Communist Party really fears most is a united America, an America where Democrats and Republicans work together to defend our nation.
Chairman Molinar outlined a series of priorities to deter Beijing's military aggression toward Taiwan, protect American technology and supply chains, and prevent CCP proxies from harassing people on U.S. soil. On top of that, the Epoch Times reports that Molinar also looks to tackle Beijing's unfair trade practices, among other economic aggressions targeting U.S. businesses. The committee has worked on a wide range of issues over the past 14 months, especially by raising awareness and introducing bills to tackle issues surrounding the Chinese regime. Now facing a divided U.S. House, the committee says it hopes to unite bipartisan efforts to protect American values and profits. China's Coast Guard on Tuesday used water cannons against Philippine vessels near the Scarborough Shoal in a disputed area of the South China Sea. The shoal is one of several islands and reefs that both China and the Philippines claim in the region. Worth noting, it's located just over 100 miles from the Philippines and nearly 600 miles from China. A 2016 tribunal also ruled China's claims in the South China Sea invalid. The shoal has been a flashpoint of territorial disputes between the Asian nations. According to a Philippine Coast Guard spokesperson, a Philippine Coast Guard ship and a fishing vessel were patrolling the waters nearby when four Chinese Coast Guard ships, backed by six suspected militia ships, executed dangerous blocking maneuvers. A Chinese Coast Guard ship used a water cannon against the fishing vessel, and two other Chinese Coast Guard ships hit the Philippine Coast Guard ship, which suffered some damage. An island state in a strategic location, voters in the Solomon Islands are preparing for Election Day this Thursday. And its current prime minister, known for his pro-Beijing stance, isn't running for another term. He just announced the last-minute decision on Monday. The Solomon Islands policies toward Washington and Beijing play an important role in the Indo-Pacific. The current prime minister shifted diplomatic ties from Taiwan to Beijing. He also signed 9 agreements with Beijing last year. One in particular has the U.S. and Australia concerned. It's a police pact that could provide the Chinese military with a foothold only 1,200 miles from the Australian coastline. Now, the election is down to a pro-Washington opposition candidate and the former foreign minister, who's backed by the ruling party. TikTok now faces a ban in the U.S., but what would that look like? NTD's Chris Beers sat down with Andrew Celepak, social media professor at the University of Florida, to discuss.
Andrew Celepak, thank you so much for joining us. How would this potential ban on TikTok actually work if it goes into effect?
Well, I mean, one of the things is it's a long way out. We know that even if the ban comes close, that ByteDance is going to bring this into the courts, and this is going to be tied up in the courts for a very long time. Even if they lose the original case, they're still going to appeal. So there's a lot of bluster about TikTok being banned, TikTok being sold. I don't expect anything to happen anytime soon, just for the fact that we know ByteDance and the CCP do not want to lose this app and its popularity here in the United States. If the ban actually does eventually come through with going through the court cases, you know, the big thing is India's already done this. So this is not something that's unprecedented. We know that other major social media countries have done this. And then what's gone on in India is they've had sort of their own versions of TikTok that have arisen, which I would expect to see here in the US as well.
Now, yeah, if this ban does go through, could users still get access to the app in some kind of other way?
Well, I mean, you could always use a VPN, and this is actually how people in China access American social media. You could use a VPN to still be able to go on to the app and so forth. You know, it's one of those things that I think is kind of always holds true. If you build a 10-foot wall, someone will build an 11-foot ladder. Well, the argument that they seem to be posing the most and the one that seems to be suggested the most is that it is an infringement on users' First Amendment rights, which I still don't understand how that would hold up in court, because you're not taking away an individual's ability to express themselves, to say what they want. There's plenty of social media for that. There's plenty of blogs that they could go to, plenty of websites they could create to be able to express themselves. So I think the First Amendment sort of idea that they're proposing is mostly because it kind of grabs attention. People go, oh, this is an infringement on the First Amendment. But when you look into it, there really isn't much there.
All right, Andrew Celepak, thank you so much. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
TikTok's content recommendation algorithm has once again come under the spotlight. That's after the U.S. ordered its Chinese owner ByteDance to sell the app's U.S. assets or get ousted from U.S. app stores. Let's take a closer look at how it works.
Before TikTok, many believed that the technology built on users' social connections was the secret sauce to a successful social media app. Such technology helped Meta's Facebook and Instagram become widely popular. But TikTok showed that an algorithm that's driven by the understanding of a user's interest could be even more powerful.
TikTok's a little different from the previous generation of social networks, where a lot of the algorithms, you know, built up on top of what it called a social graph. But then with TikTok, it actually revolves around what it calls interest signals.
While competitors have similar interest-based algorithms, TikTok is able to turbocharge its effectiveness with the short video format.
If you think about YouTube, the average length of a video is about 10 minutes. So, you know, the user interaction with it, you know, is a lot more stagnant, you know, when it compared to TikTok, when you get 10 seconds video, right? If you're scrolling through it, you know, you like it or you follow it, you know, that's sending through a lot of different data points to TikTok, which it can determine whether this is really suits your interest. So the speed at which it collects these data is unprecedented compared to a previous generation of social networks.
But it's not just about feeding users what they want. TikTok also regularly recommends content that falls outside of users' interest, which the company has said is essential to TikTok's user experience. TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance was also an early adopter of the so-called tagging strategy.
Through our conversations with some of the ex-ByteDance employees, we realized that there's one very unique advantage that TikTok has over the Western social media platforms, which is they focus very early on tagging or labeling every user and as well as every video that's on their platform. And they not only do it through machine vision, but then they also actually hire a bunch of people to manually, laboriously annotate a lot of these kind of contents and user profiles on their platforms. And as you know, in China, the labor cost is a lot cheaper. So ByteDance can afford to be deploying this strategy very quickly at a large scale, more so than its Western counterparts.
Mexico plans to work with the U.S. to clamp down on illegal immigration at the southern border. In a phone conversation on Sunday, President Biden and Mexican President López Obrador also vowed to address the economic and security problems that cause people to migrate. Republicans have criticized Biden for rolling back stricter Trump-era border policies and failing to stem higher levels of immigration crossings. U.S. Border Patrol picked up the illegal immigrants seen on Monday. They were then transported to San Diego for processing. On Saturday, illegal immigrants from countries like India, China, and Colombia received food from volunteers. They set up tents and fires while waiting to be picked up by Border Patrol. A top Chinese virologist has been protesting outside his lab for days. This comes after authorities reportedly shut down his facility and barred him from entering. Zhang Yongjin is the first scientist in China to publish a genomic sequence of the COVID-19 virus. Online pictures show Zhang sleeping outside his lab while surrounded by police officers. In a deleted social media post, he said, quote, "The public health center are refusing to let me and my students go inside the laboratory office to take shelter." In January 2020, Zhang published his research on the COVID-19 virus without permission from authorities and had faced a number of repercussions since then. Zhang was ousted from his position at the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Authorities even barred him from working with some of his former colleagues. Chinese officials have been pressuring scientists to look past Beijing's handling of the pandemic. Another similar case is also causing a stir. China's rubber stamp parliament is ousting a top scientist. He was the man in charge of developing China's COVID-19 vaccine. State-run media reported this weekend that Yang Xiaoming was removed from the National People's Congress. It's China's main lawmaking body, often known as a rubber stamp parliament, since it always greenlights proposals from the CCP's top leadership. Yang is accused of what's called serious discipline and law violations. The phrase is typically linked to accusations of fraud or corruption. He headed that research team responsible for China's most widely used COVID-19 jab, made by Chinese pharmaceutical giant Sinopharm. News of his ousting exploded on Chinese social media site Weibo. Speculation has run wild, though little detail is available on why Yang was removed. Worth noting, Beijing is in the midst of a major push to tighten healthcare regulations. The industry has faced off with major corruption cases and other scandals for years, and hospitals and their staff are coming under scrutiny. Coming up, baby toys and other products for kids from China seized at a California port, some of them in violation of child safety standards. A Chinese university is looking to open a satellite campus in San Francisco. Who is behind it and what could it mean for the U.S.?
If you invite a Chinese university to the United States to have their satellite campus, now the number one issue is the technology, right?
And the UK is readying to remove all Chinese-made surveillance kits from government buildings and military bases, saying the foreign tech will be completely gone by this time next year. What triggered the move? More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Dangerous toys shipped from China. California authorities recently seized nearly $80,000 worth of items at a seaport. Officials says the products violated child safety standards. Autism balance chairs, baby changing tables, and step stools were among the items taken. Customs officers discovered the suspicious items concealed inside legitimate cargo. The items lacked children's product certificates and tracking labels. The autism balance chairs violated the Consumer Product Safety Act. The changing tables were found in violation of the safety standard for baby changing products. The toys failed to meet small parts requirements and were also found in violation of the Federal Hazardous Substances Act. A pair of pandas from China are headed to Southern California. This comes after Beijing took back almost all of the pandas it had loaned to American zoos amid strained relations. Here's a closer look.
A pair of giant pandas will soon make the journey from China to the U.S., where they will be cared for at the San Diego Zoo. It's part of an ongoing conservation partnership between the two nations. The San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance said its caretakers recently visited China to meet the giant pandas, Yun Chuan and Xin Bao, ahead of their planned trip to Southern California. An exact date for the handoff hasn't been set. Yun Chuan, a mild-mannered male who's nearly 5 years old, has deep connections to California. His mother, Jen Jen, was born at the San Diego Zoo in 2007. Meanwhile, in Northern California, San Francisco Mayor London Breed visited China earlier in April with promises of giant panda diplomacy. She said the San Francisco Zoo will welcome pandas from China soon, but no date has been set yet. Beijing is known to use pandas as a form of soft diplomacy. The communist regime sends them to friendly nations on loan and may refuse to extend the bears' visits as punishment for going against Beijing. It costs American zoos $1 million to welcome a pair of pandas for a year. China uses the money to support its conservation research.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed recently traveled to China for a week-long trip. During her visit, she talked about bringing pandas to the San Francisco Zoo, exploring direct flights from Shenzhen, and deepening cultural ties. She also met with leaders from a Shanghai research university. She said they were interested in setting up a satellite campus in downtown San Francisco. To discuss, NTD's David Lam spoke with Epoch Times senior investigative reporter Nan Su. He focuses on Chinese politics and government deception.
Nan, thank you for joining me. Now, what's the national security risk or implications of having a Chinese university satellite campus in downtown San Francisco?
Well, thank you for having me. Now, there's a lot of issues involved if you invite a Chinese university to the United States to have their satellite campus. Now, the number one issue is the technology. Right, the Chinese communist regime started this so-called military and civil fusion program back in 2015. Now, the Chinese military have a specific committee. It's called the military and civil fusion committee. And guess who is the chair of that committee? It's Xi Jinping himself. Now, what they do is, you know, they will send their commercial corporations, academic institutions, as well as all kind of organizations come to the Western world, come to the United States under the name of exchange, like academic exchange. In the way they will get the technology, advance the technology, and they will go back to China and give to their military.
In the past, the Confucius Institutes were basically going under the same, the same issues here. Do you see the satellite campus being similar to Confucius Institutes?
You will operate in the same way, value-wise.
If Mayor Breed wants to promote Chinese language and its heritage in San Francisco, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the federal government already started a program to have the collaboration with Taiwan. You know, Taiwan has, they reserve the entire traditional Chinese culture that's prior to communism. And Taiwan is also a free, a democratic country. And why not go to Taiwan? I mean, who gave Mayor Reed the idea of going to China to get, the Chinese university come to United States, come to San Francisco to have the bad influence to, here, and instead of going to Taiwan?
All right, Nan, yeah,
interesting points you brought up here. But once again, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Can surveillance cameras from China spy for Beijing overseas? London is set to remove all China-made surveillance equipment from sensitive locations, including government buildings and military bases across the country, before next April. The UK government announced the decision Monday as an effort to tackle Beijing's mounting espionage activities in Britain. Last week, UK police charged two men for spying for China. One reportedly worked as a researcher under a key parliament member. But the UK isn't the only one seemingly on China's espionage list. Germany also reportedly uncovered three spies working for Beijing. Beyond that, London warned 6 months ago that some key US UK officials in politics, defense, and business have become targets in China's espionage campaign. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocusntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.